Good. It's good. Wow, that's loud. You know, I wrote something down the other day. I'm just going to preface it with this. I wrote something down. A lot of times I'm riding in my car and I'm praying and the Lord just starts speaking to me. So I actually have to pull over on the side of the road and write things down. And because I'll forget it. How many of you know that sometimes when a thought comes to your brain and you're a believer, it's generally the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we discount it. And we discount it. Is that better? Yeah. We discount it and we don't pay attention to it. And it could be something that's helping us. And so what he spoke to me the other day, he says, people are looking for a formula instead of sitting at the master's feet. And I thought about that for a minute. It's so true. How many books are written that create formulas and we run out and buy them and it doesn't work for us? It's because those people that wrote those books had to learn to sit at the master's feet. How do you sit at the master's feet? I'm glad you ask. Your Bible. Because the Word is the Spirit. The Spirit is the Word. Jesus is the Father, and the Father is Jesus. I mean, it's all so connected, but we just don't spend the time. And again, I teach on this a lot everywhere I go. I'm big on the Word. If you're not spending time in there, you're going to have problems. By the way, you're going to have problems even when you spend time in the Word. But you'll be able to overcome your problems a lot easier. And a lot of times the Spirit of God lets you be aware of things, but you got to spend time with Him. So I spend time reading and I spend time studying. I do both. And a lot of people say, well, Jim, that's kind of hard and all that. Yeah, just cut off TV, quit going out, and spend time with Him. That's what I would encourage you to do. And it's going to resolve so many issues. So much of the time we want somebody to fix us instead of saying, Jesus, show me what I need to do. Show me the changes I need to make. And the only way we're going to be changed is by the power of His Word, by the washing of the water of His Word. I've also been teaching a little bit about covenant. And I wanted people to understand covenant because we don't really understand it. We call the New Testament the New Covenant. We call the Old Covenant the Old Testament. But we don't understand covenant. Most of us don't anyway. Maybe y'all do. And I've studied it off and on for years. And the Lord really brought it back to me. And one of the first things that you do in a covenant is you exchange coats or robes. In other words, you're taking on the identity of whoever's coat that you're exchanging. So we give God our filthy rags, and what does He give us? A robe of what? A robe of righteousness. So our identity changes. It changes from filthy rags to righteousness. And that's an exchange that happens when you say, yes, Jesus. See, the problem with covenant is we think it's a contract. There's total difference between contract and covenant. It's two different worlds. And I didn't have my Bible with me today, but I've always got my Bible with me. The other thing they do is they exchange belts. In that culture, in Jewish culture, and even before in Jewish culture, they exchange belts. But why did they exchange belts? Well, we look at it because it holds our pants up. That's not the reason they wore belts. They wore belts to carry their weapons in. And so we don't really have any weapons, do we? But He gives us His belt, and now we have His weapons. Your fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. And there's a different way to fight it. You can't fight it with a sword. You got to fight it with the sword of the Spirit. That's the reason you got to know the Word. So it's really, really important to really understand this, because if you don't understand this, it's hard. And I'll be honest with you. The commitment's big. I wish when I was first born again that they told me about the commitment. How many of you know when you got born again, most people said, hey, if you just get born again, everything's going to be good. How'd that work for you? It didn't work for you, did it? Okay. When you cut it, they call it cutting a covenant. Why do they call it cutting a covenant? Because what they did was they would exchange blood, whether in the hand or on the forearm, and they'd mix blood, which means now I'm taking on your life and you're taking on my life. That's what that really meant. And that means it's 100% commitment. Now, if you remember when Abraham cut covenant with, God cut covenant with Abraham, if you remember, he told him to dig a big pit. And in the pit, they did all these animals and split them. Of course, Abraham fell into a deep sleep because it was a one-sided covenant because God was the only one that could fulfill the covenant. Abraham couldn't do it. And anytime you do a covenant, let's say me and Doug were going to be cutting a covenant, and he happened to be a bad dude, fight everybody, whip everybody, and I was just a good old farmer. Well, I'm going to cut covenant with him because I need somebody to protect me. And he's going to cut covenant with me because he needs to eat. Now, he's the stronger, okay? So he's the one that makes all the rules, so to speak. Now, when you cut these animals in half, he stands on that end, I stand on that end. Then we walk in a figure eight into the covenant. And then we come together, and that's when we cut our hand and our wrist, and we say, may, if I break this covenant, may I become like these animals we just walked through. That's intense. So when you said yes to God, you didn't just say, I'm saved. You made a commitment for your life forever. That's intense. But we don't think of it that way. Now, there's a man in Africa named Dr. Stanley Livingstone. He's, of course, gone to be with the Lord a long time ago, but he was a doctor. And he went to Africa. In Africa, blood covenant was a big deal. I didn't realize how big a deal it was. But over there, they would do cuts, you know, hands, arms, or whatever. Did you know he had between 50 and 60 cuts on his arm from cutting covenant with different people? And he was able to preach the gospel because they believed in a blood covenant. And he could relate to them what the covenant of God was all about. And that's how he was so effective when he was over there. It's pretty, it's just daggone amazing to even think about. He put himself in a position to cut covenant with everybody. What's cool about that is he cut covenant with this big chief. He was a really bad dude in Africa. And so when he cut the covenant, the chief said, I just want your white goat. He said, man, I need that goat for my milk, but if you want it, you can have it. He said, here, you take this spear. And it's a spear embroidered. It had all these feathers, all these different things on it. He handed him the spear. He thought to himself, what can I do with a spear? He goes to another village, walks in there with that spear, and the people of the village run up to him and says, we want to cut covenant with you because we know that you're in covenant with this guy. So they recognized it. Now, in Indian culture, Native American culture, you remember when they come up and say, how? Do you know why they did that? Because they had cuts in their hands that signified who they were in covenant with. And if you were covenant with a big tribe, see, this blood covenant thing is a big deal. And it's committed. See, we don't understand commitment. We really don't. This is to death. It's to death. And when you make that decision, and it's going to change your life. Now, in the covenant, there's also things that God gives us. And it's called covenant blessings and curses. Every covenant's like that. Did you know that? Now, our covenant's the Bible, correct? If you look at Deuteronomy 28, it talks about what? Blessings and curses, right? Can I tell you, today's culture, I think a lot we call the devil is us just being cursed because we're not walking according to the covenant. It's kind of scary. That's another reason you need to read your Bible. How are you going to understand something unless you spend time? How are you going to walk fully into this covenant unless you understand it? how are you going to know whatever I say or whatever Todd says or Lewis or any of us say or Doug or anybody? How are you going to know what we say is even true or not if you're not checking us out? You better check us out, because if you follow somebody that's way off, guess whose fault it is? It's not theirs, it's yours. Because the Bible said for you to do what? Study to show yourself approved. It's intense, y'all. I'm telling you, this covenant thing is a big deal. I don't think we understand. We also exchange names. By the way, you see that in the book of Revelation, how he gave us a new name. Each of us get a new name. Pretty crazy. Here's an interesting one. We eat a covenant meal. Is that kind of like Passover in a sense? To confirm the covenant of Passover? You start thinking about all this and you start realizing, man, am I really committed? And by the way, when you're in covenant with him, you're in covenant with everybody else that belongs to him. And that means you've got to start honoring one another, loving one another, forgiving one another. Because if I don't forgive him, then I'm going to be at odds with him. Because he's in covenant with him, I'm in covenant. So you've got to understand the terms of this covenant. And by the way, he says, he talks about by his stripes we're healed. The terms of the covenant. It's not, it works. This covenant thing really does work. But there's a cost. You have to die. Well, how did I know that? Because he said, take up your cross daily. The cross was a symbol of death. And as you die, you get resurrected in him. And you're walking in a covenant with him forever. You got to start just hanging out with him every day. You got to start spending time with him every day. You've got to come to know God. You can't just know God coming to a Friday meeting and a Sunday church meeting and a Wednesday meeting. You've got to spend daily time with him. But nobody in America wants to do it. You know when people start wanting to spend time with God? When something like 9/11 comes. And then they're not ready. They're trying to fix it, and there's nothing they can do because it's too late then. When you walk it, you got to learn to walk with God and realize it's a commitment. And listen, when I'm in commitment with him, everything he has is mine. And all I can give him is my body as a living sacrifice. That's all I got to give him. That's it. That's kind of crazy. But it's true. But the Bible says he's given us everything. It pertains to life in godliness. Everything. When you start understanding it, you start thinking, you know what? I'm going to do things different. Listen, I'm a pretty thankful guy because back in 2023, I had to have a triple bypass. I'm going to show you how the Lord works. The Lord speaks to me one night and says, I want you to read Catherine Kuhlman's book. So I said, okay. So I thought he was going to talk to me about healing. So I read Catherine Kuhlman's biography, and I was thinking about healing, and I said, well, that's what he wants me to do then, so I'll do it. I'll do whatever he wants me to do. Well, at the end of the biography, Catherine Kuhlman had a heart condition which killed her, and she wouldn't stop ministry long enough to go get healed. She just kept doing her thing because she said there's too much need. And so I kept going, so I went to my doctor. This was in February when I read the book, and then March, my doctor said, look, I need you to do this test called the calcium test. And they do an MRI on your heart, and they tell you how much plaque you possibly have in your heart. 0 being a really good score, 400 being a really high score. Mine was 7,400, had a really high score. And so they went and said, we want you to come in and do a heart cast. So I was good with it because I realized at that time, why he wanted me to read that book of Catherine Kuhlman was not so much about the healing, but it was, but to know that I need to slow down and go through this process. So I went and had the heart cath. I woke up. I'm looking around at the end of my bed standing a surgeon, not my doctor, a surgeon. I said, I guess you're here because you're going to tell me I need to go on the table, aren't you? He said, yep. I said, when, in a couple weeks? He said, no, about 3 or 4 days. So I went in and had triple bypass. My main arteries, two of my main arteries were 85% plus blocked. But you know, I was at so much peace, y'all. I can't tell you the peace I had. Because why? Because God prepared me for it. Because I'm in covenant with him. And he started taking care of me and preparing me for it. And he prepares you for things before it happens because you're in covenant with him. And he really does care about you. Now, in March of 25, coming out of my bathroom, stepped on a loose rug and went about 4 feet in the air and fell and broke my hip. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Not. I'm still limping, but I'm doing much, much better. But I was in the hospital for about 6 days, 7 days. Then I went to inpatient rehab for about 85 days because I started having some stuff with my heart going on in there. While I was in there, it was when I'd sit up on the side of the bed, my blood pressure would drop from 145 over 80 to 120 over 80, and then when I'd stand up, it dropped to 90 over 50. When it drops to 90 over 50, you pass out. And it took them a while to get all that fixed. But see, I'd stayed in the Word. I'd been in the Word even before it happened. So when this, all this happened, I wasn't so stressed about it. Now, what did I do? I went into the Still Hopes out in West Columbia. So if you ever got to go to rehab, that's the best rehab in the country. And I went in there, and it was amazing. It was the most amazing thing. God really ministered to me. And you know what? My CNAs that would come in, my nurses, I was ministering to the doctors. I'd have people come from other parts of the hospital to my room. Because that was my journey. God says, I got some people I got to touch in here. And you got your hip broken, so you just touch these people. And then God showed me something. He showed me something about doctors. He said, Jim, he said, some of these doctors are just as gifted as you are. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, because my people don't understand covenant. And until they start understanding covenant, they'll never be healed like they're supposed to be. So I'm raising up these doctors with gifts so that they can stay on this earth just a little bit longer. So some of them can get healed. And I was telling Todd, when I talked to him the other day, there's such a strong healing thing in here the other night when I was here. I mean, it was so big. I could feel it as soon as I walked into the room. But I really believe that God, that's part of our covenant. And I really believe that these next few years, we're going to probably have the greatest move of healing that any of us have ever seen. It's not going to be through just people like me and Todd. It's going to be through all of us. And we're going to be releasing God's glory to so many people. So many lives are going to be changed. But I just want you to understand how important covenant is and how big it is to God. It's a really big deal. This is not something that we say, oh, I'm saved. No. I just cut covenant with the King of the whole universe. I didn't cut covenant with just anybody. And he's got everything that I need, plus some. I don't need any more because he's got it all. The only thing I can get him again is my body. And so when I was in the rehab, I committed to him. I said, Lord, when I get out of here, I want to touch as many people as I can before I have to leave this planet. And I'm in it. He also told me the time that I would exit Earth. I ain't telling you. It's a while yet. He gave me the year. I already know the year. A lot of people say, well, God doesn't do that. Yeah, he does. I'm in covenant with him. He tells me all this stuff. We just got to learn to slow down. We got to learn to reach into him. Whatever you need, it's always available to you because you belong to him. Whatever you don't have, he has. And all you got to do is reach in and grab hold of it. But if you don't know him, you'll never do it. And when I said sitting at the master's feet, that means reading your Bible every single day. Well, Jim, that's difficult. I don't care. You like to eat food, don't you? Then read your Bible. Get serious about your relationship. Quit playing. Why are you even in if you're not spending time with him? The one that you're living for, how come you don't know him? You've got to know him. And it requires the most valuable asset you've got, and that's time. That's your most valuable asset. You can get money anytime, but time, when it's gone, it's gone. You never get it back. So I want to encourage each of you as you walk in with God this month, say, God, I realize I'm in covenant with you. And I realize I'm in covenant with all these people around me. Show me how I can help them and show them how they can help me. Because where I'm weak, you may be strong. Where you're weak, I may be strong for you. That's what this whole thing's about. So I want to encourage you as you step into the rest of this year, is make the commitment to the Lord to say, Lord, number one, I want to understand covenant. Number two is I'm going to start reading your Bible. I'm going to really study it. I'm going to spend time there. I'm going to tell you one little thing and then I'll be done. I love to read a lot of the mystics, and one of them happened to be a man named Sadhu Sundar Singh. Sadhu Sundar Singh was an Indian, and in India, of course. He had an encounter with Jesus at a very young age. Amazing man, just got an amazing story. But I'm not going to go into story. I just want to tell you, he would use nature and tell stories, and when he tells stories, it penetrated your heart because it gave you a picture. How many of you know a picture is worth 1,000 words? Well, he's telling a story one time, and he said, I was out in the woods, and I was among all the people that were cutting trees down. They called them woodcutters. He said, and there was a tree over to my left, and it was on fire, and up in the middle of the tree, there was a bunch of baby birds. And these baby birds up there were just hollering because the fire was coming up the tree. There's no way they could get up there and get those baby birds out of the tree. And everybody was standing there looking and said, where's the mother bird? Where's the mother bird? And right before the flames came up to engulf the baby birds, the mother flew down and put her wings around her babies. Just like us, when we're hollering and we're in the midst of the fire, God himself comes and wraps us in his wings. Amazing stories. So when you hear stuff like that, it changes your heart. That's who God is for you. When you're struggling and battling, he comes down and grabs hold of you. It's your turn. I'm done.
So I'm in 1 Samuel to start out reading here. I kind of fantail into what he was talking about, but I'm going to move more into vision. But in 1 Samuel 3:1, it says, now the boy Samuel was ministered to the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days. There was no frequent or widely spread vision. And that word vision there is hazon in the Hebrew, and it refers to specifically to divine communication, prophetic revelation, or spiritual vision from God, rather than it's from God. It's not like a vision for a human vision, like people have goals and stuff like that. This is a divine vision. A definition: it means a divine sight, oracle, or revelation. That particular word is used 35 times in the Old Testament, and it's usually connected to prophets revealing messages. So this word vision here, it's very important. And you know, he's talking about covenant. And when you're in relationship with the Lord, obviously, you're going to get visions. Now, I'm going to just tell you kind of about a vision of a guy named Mark McCord. And Mark was, when I moved down here in 82, he was here as well, and he was a diver from, I think he was from Alabama. But he was here, and he had a goal or a vision, I should say, to make it to a senior nationals, which is not easy to do in our sport of diving. And he wanted to do it on a platform. And he never had dove platform before. In fact, he dove some springboard, but he wasn't very good. And his talent level on a 1 to 10 was probably around a 3. And so I'm down here, and I'm training with him. And he's born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, on fire for God, Christian. And I just moved down here, and I just, you know, I love the Lord, but I was being discipled at the time by my coach, and I didn't really have a lot of exposure to charismatic type teaching or spirit-filled stuff. And the thing about Mark is, you know, he had such a strong vision inside of him to make this thing that he was willing to train himself. And so we would go and we'd dive platform up at Great Falls, which is about 45 minutes from here, and Springs Mill Park out there. I don't know if any of you have ever been there before, but there was a cotton factory up there, and they built this huge park for their employees. And it was really out in the middle of nowhere. That town, Great Falls, didn't even have a McDonald's. It was just nothing there, you know. And in the middle of nowhere, they had built this huge Olympic pool with Abe Lincoln painted on the stands. It probably had about, you know, a couple thousand people. It was out in the middle of nowhere, and they had this platform, diving platform, the only one in the state. And that's where we trained platform. And I wasn't really a platform diver. I like springboard. I didn't really like necessarily going up or high. But Mark wanted to learn how to do it. And he had such a strong vision and to do it. And so he gets up there, and, you know, we were up there. And you know, you do these lead-ups before you go up on the top and do your dive up there. And his lead-ups weren't very impressive. In fact, I rather considered his lead-ups dangerous. Because it was obviously he did not know where he was in the air, because when you're spinning, a lot of these divers, when they're spinning, rotating, they're actually going around, they're seeing the water or whatever twice, they spot, they know where they are in the air, and he didn't spot, if he did spot, he didn't even have a feel. You know, some of us, you have a feel, you're like a cat, you don't know you're a cat till you're thrown in the air, and you know, you're spinning around, and then you find out whether you're a cat or not, if you know where you are. But some people know where they're, and some people don't. And he was just one of those guys, he didn't really know where he was. He was strong, so he could get himself spinning, but to get himself to stop was another thing. But he would get up there, and before he would go, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me." And he would say it out loud, and we were up there, you know, kind of, actually, be honest, we kind of ridicule him just a little bit, because he would say it, and then he'd get this look on his face, and then he would go. And he'd go up in the air, and he would just, he would hammer himself, just wipe himself totally out. And but he climbed back up there, and so he's up there red in line, and he's beat red, you know, and we're sitting there watching him, and he get up there again, and he goes, "I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me," get that look on his face, and he'd go. And I was just like, he was and he'd wipe out again. And so we're laughing. We'd like a good smack. As long as nobody dies, you know, we kind of enjoy it when people, this way we were. And so he gets up there again, does it again. And the guy just kept going. And eventually he learned his list of being able to go to the qualification for the senior national. So he got to actually go. And he, you know, so that was his vision. That was his goal. And that, you know, really ministered to me over the years, because Mark actually ended up, he's in Sweden right now, and I think he's over 30 churches or something like that. He's became very well-known speaker and minister in Sweden. And and in fact, what's the guy, brother from Harvest from Sweden, Doug? What's the brother from Harvest? Anton, is it in? Yeah. Is it Anton or what's his name? It's Anton. Anyway, he knows Mark. So a small world, you know. So, yeah, because I said, "Do you have known Mark McCord?" "Yeah, I know Mark McCord." So anyway. But anyway, the thing I'm trying to point out is this. You know, when you get a revision from God, and vision is a direction. And it's something that is, and it's also protection. And you won't think of it like that, but it really is, because it keeps you in a direction of where you're headed and where you're going, okay? And your vision that God has given you probably has unfolded itself like a Polaroid picture over a period of time. And if you don't feel like you've got a vision yet from God, you can get one. You can just ask him for it. Because it says in the scriptures, it says that without vision, that is prophetic vision, that word hazon there, without it says that people perish. But really the word is there in the Hebrew, it's actually they live unrestrained lives. And so the vision, a godly vision, if you have one, is a protection, because it keeps you in a direction and keeps you on a certain path, and it keeps your focus on him. It's kind of like what Jim was talking about being in covenant. It's a focus on him. And we need more of that in the church, because there's not a lot of vision being released in churches these days. I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them, they don't even teach about vision. And people don't know that they need to have a vision. And so when you know you've got a vision from God, it's something that you can articulate. It's something that you can write down. But just as Mark had a vision of going and diving, and he had to utilize the word of the Lord, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He doesn't have the natural talent, but in God, he was able to get his body and to fling it off there, even when he knew he could be hurt. And it always amazed me, but it's so much as true that when we have visions from God and we start to pursue them, there are obstacles. There are things that you have to push through to get to that place to where you press in, where you receive what God has promised you. And so just need to know that this vision that you have, maybe you're in a place right now where you're encountering some storms within your vision. You know, and you have to kind of be like Mark. You need to get up there, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I guess like the anointing hit him. I mean, I can see this guy today doing that. He just blew us all away, because after third times of getting whacked, we thought he'd sit down, but he just kept getting back up there again. And he really was being empowered by the Lord to do that. Are you being empowered by the Lord to press through your current struggle or your current situation? And I'm telling you that vision helps you do that. You know, people many times, I find this out since I've been doing some life coaching, you know, and finding out and just in different things that people deal with, that very few people have visions for their life. Very few Christians have actual visions that they've written down that they can look at. I got mine on my mirror at home, and I like to look at it. In fact, the other day I went through it with the Lord in interpreting what it is he was saying to me. And then I've got prophetic words in my life. And so you've got those things too. If you've hung around here, I'm sure you've received a word or two. And you ought to get them and keep them somewhere where you can listen to them, especially if you know they're from the Lord. Because these words are very, very important, and they're very meaningful. And they unfold, you know, over time. And so it's very important that you have it. Now, over in Habakkuk, I like this scripture. This was actually one of the scriptures that the Lord had given me. And I had to give an account for it the other day. And it says here in Habakkuk 2, we'll start in verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon the tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for appointed time, and it hastens to the end. Now, I got to give an answer for that, because, see, with me, I'm kind of person that I wanted things to happen. I want things to come about. I want to, you know, I want to do the stuff. You know, I want to go where he says to go. I want to say what he wants me to say. I want to go out and do it. I'm very highly motivated to do whatever God has for me. I just the way I am. He wired me that way. It's not something I learned. It's something I am that way. And so I had to give an account. And so I realized, Lord, what are you telling me there? You're telling me that that it's an appointed time. There's a timing in what you've been telling me that it's going to happen. And so that's what you're saying. But he says, what about that word hasten? I go, well, I don't know what that word hasten means exactly. But to me, that sounds kind of fast to me. It hastens towards. There's actually a speed behind this appointed time that I'm speeding towards it. Maybe that's just something I wanted to put in there because I like things to move fast. I'm speeding towards the time. And see, when you're speeding towards something, when there's something that is picking up and gaining momentum, you're very much aware of that. And that's the way that things are in the spirit. You find out that when you really start walking in your anointing and walking in your calling, there's an acceleration that occurs. There's a wisdom that you start to move and you know is not yours. I had a long conversation with a person today, and I said, do you think that you have to go out and you have to be this or that in order for you to speak the wisdom of God? And they said, well, yeah, it'd be good if I had some experience. And I go, well, let me ask you, Seth, did Jesus say that because of my experience, I can say this? What did he say? He said, no, the teaching is not of my own. I can do nothing on my own. And so you're saying that you have to do that, become an expert in order to teach it. I'm telling you that anything that you're going to be able to do, if it's not coming from him, if it's not his teaching, then all you're doing is operating off of a human experience. You see, you have something going on inside of you that directly comes from the throne room of God. Your teaching is not of your own. You don't have to go out and experience, you don't have to become a drunk to minister to an alcoholic. I know some of you might be trying to do that, and if that's your case, and I won't point you out tonight. It's okay. I know, but you know the point is but on this other hand, there are people who have come off drugs and things like that, end up ministering to people like that because they've walked through it and they have some insights. But what I'm saying, that what is inside of you is not of you anyway; it comes from him. And so the mind of Christ is something that you have to learn to operate out of and operate in. And part of that operation of being turned on is walking in the vision that God has over your life. I mean, to me, vision is a daily thing. It's something that I wake up in every day. I'm aware of it. It's tangible to me. It's a life of purpose. And you have that going on in your life. And the enemy does everything he can do to dampen that. But when you have an awareness that you're waking up in a vision of God for your life every day, it not just brings motivation, not only brings purpose, it brings direction, and it also gives you protection. Because your mind stayed upon God is a blessed mind. It's a focus. And it's also, Jesus said, I only do the things I see the Father doing. Vision is seeing things in the realm of the Spirit. You know, one of the things that people say, well, how do you see that? How does that happen to you? How do you know God's speaking to you? How do you know that he's unfolding something to you? And we talked about it last week, but we talked about thoughts. But the thing about it is, at least with me, when it comes to vision, is God will come to me and he'll give me a thought or an idea. And when I think upon that thought or that idea that is from him, he expands it into kind of steps of go do this, 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 and this. And I get a sequence in my mind. But there's also a quickening and anointing on it, which is the same in sensation. I hate to use the word feeling. It's just a sensation in the spirit that I know he's there. It's a presence. And when all his things are going online, I get all that coming on. I realize that God has given me a vision to go out and to do this and do that. He'll do this in your job and whatever you're engaged in. It's one of the best ways you know the Holy Spirit is working with you is that he's the creator on your job. And some of you need to understand that, just as I pointed out last week, because some of the things that are going on in your thought life in the negative realm, you're bringing those things, it's like the doorway of fear, and you're bringing that into existence, into your life, through repetitive thinking. In other words, you're not guarding your mind. Jesus taught to steward our thoughts. And if you don't guard your mind, then what you have replaying into your mind over and over again is creating something within you of negative expectation, if ever you want to say it. But the same thing is true of the positive, is that when you start your mind that stayed on God, the thought life, the mind of Christ gets activated, and it replays over and over again. And that's your thinking and you're meditating on his word day and night. And that opens up an abundance of not just optimism, that word that greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That's what Mark was doing. He was moving into a realm, into an area that I never even knew existed back then. That's the only way he could get that body, his body off there. He told his body what to do. His body didn't tell him what to do. My body would have told me a long time ago, don't do that again, ever. Don't do that to me. It would have cried and just screamed and said, you know, I mean, I didn't smack very often, but I can still remember the days that I did smack. I can remember one time, just I was, never forget it. I was, and God saved me, but I was on a board and I got on a corner of a board and, they didn't clean the board off, first of all, and I just spit me out like that, and I'm twisting in the air about 12, 13 feet in the air, and I'm just like a corkscrew going like that, but I'm going to the side of the pool. And all of a sudden, I put my hands out, and the wall is right there. I just missed the wall by about that much and smacked on my side. And, that imprinted in my, that time, imprinted, I could replay that over and over again to the point to where I could not even get back off the board again and do the same thing. But you can't do that in a sport. You got to shelve it, bury it, just stuff it down there, don't remember it. But, it was just amazing how Mark was able to overcome physical pain by having such a strong vision to achieve a goal that he believed that God wanted him to achieve. And he was not just doing that athletically. He was doing that as walking out something that he believed the Lord was leading him to do. And so just know this, that there may be difficulties in your vision. You may have times of interruption. You may have seasons where it seems like it's not going to happen. But anything that God speaks will come to pass in our lives. We are the only ones that can stop it by stopping to pursue it. So, it says, for this vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens towards the end for fulfillment. It will not be deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not be behindhand or on its appointed day. And when you read that, and you look at that, and you said, man, to wait earnestly for it, to earnestly wait for something is anticipation that it's going to happen. And so when you know that God has given you a vision about doing something or completing something or whatever it might be, you can have an anticipation of it going to happen. That hastens it. The scripture talks about us hastening his return. And I believe that is the body of Christ becoming mature. Where she's prepared herself. She's ready for his return. And so that's why it's so important to have prophetic vision, because that is what needs to be implied to your life. You've got to have a vision that is driving you on a daily basis. Like I said, if you don't have one, just seek the Lord. He will give you one. And what can I do? How can I serve you? And the Holy Spirit will always, always will answer that prayer. He'll put you in front of people, whatever he's got to do. So, maybe some of you in here come tonight. Maybe you're here tonight because you need to refresh your vision. You need to refresh what is really going on in your life. What is really, do you wake up in a vision every day? Do you need something? Or are you in a situation like I would have been with Mark when I smacked the first time. I said, I've had enough of this Christianity stuff. I don't want to do that anymore. I'm getting hurt in this thing, I hear I go to the churches, I think everybody's going to love me, nobody cares about me, or I'm just being ignored, or I'm being rejected, or whatever it might be. So many people get hurt in churches. It's like they don't go back because they think that God, these people represent God, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, but God has nothing to do. He can represent himself. So anyway, one other scripture here that I want to read. In Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 21, says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, what is this proverb that you have in this land of Israel saying, the days drag on and every vision comes to nothing and is not fulfilled. Tell them, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will put an end to this proverb, and they shall use it no more as a proverb in Israel, but say to them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. For there shall be no more any false, empty, and fruitless vision or flattering divination in the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall be performed, come to pass. It shall no more be delayed or prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word and will perform it, says the Lord God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that Ezekiel sees is for many days to come, and he prophesies of times that are far off. Therefore say them, thus says the Lord God, there shall be none of my words be deferred any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be performed, says the Lord God. You see, Israel's became very complacent, and they were saying that the judgments that he was speaking about were going to be on down the line, that they weren't going to happen to them. And the Lord basically straightens them out and says, the word that I speak is going to happen now. It's going to come to pass quickly. I'm saying this in this sense, but we're in a season right now where words of prophecy, their true vision, their true words of the Lord are rapidly coming to pass. I've noticed one thing about personal prophecy or personal words that people are getting seem to be happening quickly. You know, where some of the words that I got were back in the 80s, took years to unfold. Some of these words are happening over people almost immediately. And I believe it's because of the season that we're in. The words that you are getting are words of preparatory words, preparing you for your mission on this earth, what you're to do specifically. And just being aware, just being available, just having your shoes, the gospel of peace, you know, the preparation gospel, making yourself available to your commander at a moment's notice, and just being that way. I mean, he positions you around people every day that need help. I remember I was sitting there in a the other day just at Lizard's Thicket, and this guy comes to sit down, and rather than sitting down, he goes back and whacks his head right on the table. I mean, it had to hurt. He did a good job of masking. He got up and like nothing hurt. And I go, man, that had to hurt. That had to hurt. I didn't know what was going to take place. I thought I was going to raise the guy from the dead or what was going to happen, but I had to be ready. So I got up and I was ready, you know, and he got up and he got back and nothing had to be said or anything. But I'm always aware that I have to be ready. So just know this, that, you know, a lot of our ministries aren't necessarily behind pulpits. They're out there in the world where you are, where you have to be traveling, where you're driving or whatever. So just be ready. You never know. But I do believe that things are coming to pass very fast. So vision is something that I want you to be thinking about in your ministries. What do you have your vision? Do you have it written down? It's very important. You type it out. You can put it on your computer. You can put it somewhere where you can read it, you know, because it's a beautiful thing. You know, God never puts out visions that aren't beautiful. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. We're all essential. In the body of Christ, we need every part. Every part's got to play its part in the body right now. And so, you know, because you believe in the power of God, most of the people that come to these gatherings, they want to move in the gifts of Spirit, and they believe in the power of God, and they believe that the Word of God is the Bible is the inherent infallible Word of God. You know, and people tend to be serious that come to these meetings. And so because you're that way, anticipate vision. Anticipate God wants to speak to you. Maybe he wants to refine your vision. Or maybe he wants to refresh it. You know? Whatever it might be. But when you do get it, write it down. Write it down. That's the best way to do it is put it right where you make yourself up in the morning. And you can sit there and look at it and say, man, that's just beautiful. And usually, you know, God gives you scriptures with it and all kinds of different things. And you can look at it every day and just marvel at how beautiful he is, you know. I mean, he gives me specific words about businesses, about, you know, or my marriage or whatever it might be. That's another one. Get, you know, if you don't have a vision for your marriage yet, you better get one soon. If you're up, how long you been married? Married for a while, you probably got a vision. What's your vision for your marriage? You know, write that out. That's a good one. You can write it out together. You know, that's fun. That's fun to do. Or you can write it separately, then come together and see what matches and what doesn't match. You know, but you know, the marriage is such an important thing because it's a wonderful, it's a covenant, right? It is a covenant, but it's also just a beautiful thing in terms of like what the reality of God being in it. You know, what does that mean? Why did God choose to use marriage as an example of how Christ loves his church? There's a big mystery there. And so it's important. Amen. Come on up, brother, and we're going to just minister prophetically. Let me start out.
By the way, I'm going to put wood on the spot. He does.
Yeah, I know he does. He's not allowed to hide back there today. Pull him out here. I got a vision of him being right there and ministering to other people. Yeah. My sister in the leopard skin there, you're reminding me of my trip to South Africa. It was a blessing. I was able to minister to three queens, and one of the queens, it's funny. She goes, "I see you as a warrior." And I go, "Well, that's great. I didn't. How? What are you seeing about me as a warrior?" And she goes, "I want to give you this gift." And so she goes, "I can't give it to you today, but I'll get it to you." So at the end of the week, I'm in a completely another part of South Africa, on the floor praying for people, and this carrier comes up. And that taps me on the shoulder after I just got to lay hands on him. He goes, "Oh, the queen has your gift for you." And I go, "Oh, okay." And it was a leopard, a little like little coat thing, little leopard. It was real, really real. Anyway, that reminds me of that. Amen. God is so good. You know, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I see you as an individual that knows about the joy of God, that finds ways to, you know, bring joy to the situation. You know what I mean? It's like somebody can make, you know, lemonade out of lemons. You know what I mean? And I just see you being handed some lemons, you know, but God's teaching you and training you how to make lemonade out of it. There's going to be something. There's a blessing on the other side of this thing. There's something that's more solid that God's doing inside of you than the whole entire thing. You know, anytime we get into various trials, you know, it says to count it all joy. Well, why? You know, I've said, "Lord, I don't feel joy right now." But he was showing me that, well, the joy is because you know what it's doing to you. It's producing endurance. You know, it's producing me in you. I'm creating myself in you, you know. And so that what I'm going through is that's why you can be joyful about it, because you know what it's doing. It's transforming you into my image. And I said, "Oh, okay, now I get it. Now I got it." So joy was not a feeling, was it? Joy is a power. And you're going to learn how to move in that power in a greater dimension. I see the Lord really giving you a promotion. And when promotions come from God, it's an increase in the anointing. You know, it says, he comes to us and he says, "Okay, you know what? I know, hear your prayer and stuff like that, but you know what? You're not thinking big enough here. Let me just recalibrate you." And he does something bigger. Whatever you're thinking, whatever you put out in front of him, he wants to do more than that. So it says, he's saying to me to tell you, think bigger, because I'm going to expand the borders of your tent. And I don't know if you do any writing or anything like that, but I see a book inside of you. And I see God bringing that out. And it's just something that you have inside your heart, something you've stored up. It's whatever it might is, but I just see your life being a book, and a real testimony to people. So just be encouraged. God's hand is on you in a very mighty way. And I don't know what gymnastics you did to get into that position or whatever, if you're whatever you need in terms of healing or whatever it is you need. So we're just going to believe right now that God's going to touch you. Okay, is that okay? So just put a thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for my sister in Jesus' name, Lord. Whatever her body needs, Lord, you know exactly the condition. Whatever she needs, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, this leopard thing just keeps ministering to me, Lord. Every time I look at this, brings me so much joy because she is such a warrior in the spirit. She is war, Lord. I thank you for that, God. We just loose your healing power. I thank you for complete and absolute restoration in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
And I've been praying for you this entire time. What is your vision? What do you see yourself doing? That's what I'm saying. Because we heard covenant, and I'm a covenant girl. I stand on covenant. Healing is covenant. This belongs to you. What can you do? What can you do and what can you not do? Yes. I mean, is this a stroke or what? What's going on? Stroke. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I heard you say walk. So that's legs. Okay. But the first thing you said was walk, because I told my husband we're praying for her tonight. Thank you, Lord. Tell me your name again. Jesus, I stand on your word and his covenant. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, complete restoration to Brooke's body right now. Complete restoration. I'm standing on your word. These signs shall follow those who believe. They will lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I speak to these nerves, all the nerves in her brain, everything that was damaged with that stroke. And I'm saying, in the name of Jesus, you come alive right now. You come back into order, back the way you were before this stroke, complete restoration right now. Thank you, Lord. The spirit of infirmity goes now. Every word curse spoken over her goes now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We've heard covenant today. We've heard vision today. There's no way she came to this room for her not to leave here, walking healed at home. Jesus, you pay for this, and you've told us to do this. We've been in training. Now's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day. Thank you, Lord. Brooke, would you be willing to try? Thank you, Lord.
There's somebody standing close.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. I don't know how this goes. Thank you, Lord. All fear goes now. All fear comes out.
Thank you, Jesus. Tara. I had a vision about your home about a week, 2 weeks ago. I wasn't expecting it, but I just saw it so clearly. And God wants me to tell you what I saw, and it concerns your husband. And I saw him standing outside your house by a doorway, and everything was semi-dark, and standing there. And I saw something over his head. Your husband, traditions are very important to him. He is a man that walks from a long lineage of tradition. And as he was standing outside, I saw the windows of heaven open up and rain start coming down. But over him was like a round shield, clear, very, very clear. And the rain would just pelt off of that shield and would not reach him. But then I saw the hand of the Lord come from heaven. And I saw God stretch forth his hand. And I saw him break that shield in two. And I saw it fall, one to the left and one to the right. And the rain started coming down upon him. And God says, I'm going to break that tradition that's holding him back. Because God says, I'm going to create in him an emptiness, a void that he can no longer fill. and he will cry out to me for more, and I will break that tradition over his life. And you will see a new man, a man transformed, a man whose mind is opened up, a man whose starts his hunger for the things of God, for truth. And these things, the Lord hadn't told me the timing, but I do believe the timing is very, very close, is very much upon you, and it's going to happen. You've been praying for this. This has been a heart of your prayer for him to see. Open his eyes, Lord. Let him see. And God says, I'm going to break this traditions of men. That is a religious tradition that has come down and now. And I'm going to set him free, says the Spirit of God. Amen. And Brooke, as you were sitting there and people were kind of ministering to you, I saw these words all around you. I saw words come, a phrase coming this way, a phrase coming this way, come from every direction. And these phrases are the opinions of men. These opinions of men, most of them, they're not from the Spirit of God. They're out of the mind of man and out of the intellect of man. But you have a desire to hear the word of the Lord, to hear God tell you what to do. Matter of fact, it's been a heart cry you've had. God, show me what to do. Show me what to do. These opinions coming from well-meaning people all around you are just that, opinions. And in one sense, these opinions have created a cage around you to kind of hem you in. The enemy desires to set you aside and to hem you in and to make you to where you don't feel the freedom. God says, I'm going to break that cage and I'm going to set you free of it. And you must rise up and rebuke those opinions and do not receive them because they're not of God. And hear the word of the Lord and do what the Lord tells you to do. You're going to hear God tell you specifically what to do. Not just once, but several times on how to handle it. And you're going to have to absolutely, you don't have to rebuke them in person, unless the Lord tells you to. But you're going to have to rebuke those words, and you're going to have to refuse them and fall out of agreement with them, in Jesus' name. And as the vision this woman has just told you that you to have, and your vision to walk and to use your limbs, and I just believe it's going to happen. I really do. So praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anything you want to add?
I just want to add one thing to it. I saw as they were praying for you, I saw the Lord's hand in your head rewiring a lot of your brain stuff. And you've been so frustrated. Just 3 days ago, you were crying out to the Lord. And you said, Lord, I don't like the shape that I'm in right now. And I need some healing in my, not just my body, but I need it in my soul. And he told me to tell you that he's releasing that healing in your soul today. The Bible says, I wish that you'd prosper even as your soul prospers. And he told me to tell you, he's releasing that healing in your, not just your physical body, but also in your soul. But I saw him rewiring literally your brain. And there's been some gaps and some things that are going on that aren't firing right. So over the next 3 or 4 months, that's all going to get healed. And as you were walking back to the place today, you were picking up your feet. When you were walking up, you were dragging your feet. So there's something already starting to happen. So all you've got to do is believe. And I know sometimes whatever you went through, it's all because of our brain. And we don't live out of our brain. We live out of the mind of Christ. There's a difference between our brain and our mind. And I feel like the Lord's told me to tell you, you've got to put on the mind of Christ, and then the body will come in align to it. And then you'll be a sign and a wonder, and it'll bring change to so many people, more specifically yourself. And he's healing, he really is healing your soul, because you've had a lot of people say a lot of things to you. And I feel like the Lord's told me what he just said. I feel like the Lord is just wiping that all away. So don't worry about it anymore. Watch what he's going to do.
And God also told me to tell you this. Your right hand is important. And I see you. You know, my mother used to say a thing. Let me tell you something. It was, you know, she told me that I knew I was going to get it. But I saw you reach up with your right hand, not your left hand. And I saw you with purposing in your heart to lift that hand and tell people around you, Let me tell you something. Amen. And as you start, and I would command that arm and tell him in Jesus' name, rise up and point. Amen.
Amen. Brother, I've known you for a long time. The only reason I walked by and touched you tonight is the Lord's activating some more healing in your body. You aren't quite where you need to be yet, and you've been a little frustrated about it. And the Lord told me to tell you, don't get frustrated anymore. Just keep thanking me. You will come through this. You're that close to coming through it. That close. And I know just about, really right before you came here, you said, God, something's got to change. And I heard you talking to the Lord about it. And he heard you. And he said, son, I'm going to take care of it. And so you just get ready for it. I just saw it bigger than anything. I was free and I came by and touched you. So I really felt God wanted to release that healing in your physical body. And you've been fighting and fighting and fighting. Now he said, I'm taking over. So you get ready. There's going to be a release in it just in the next few days. And when you do, you make sure you give him glory for it. Because he's the healer. We're just the vessels. He's the healer. So watch what he's getting ready to do. It's going to be amazing. And, you know, you've always spoke your mind from the first time I've ever met you. And there's nothing wrong with that. You've got to continue to do that. And sometimes it gets you in a little trouble. But, you know, it's all right. You're speaking out of your heart. You're not speaking out of your head. And you really weigh everything out. And so now you've kind of pushed yourself back a little bit. And you closed your mouth. And the Lord said, I want her to open it back up again. And not hold back anymore. You hold back way too much because of all these past bruises that people have come up and hit you with. And what he said earlier, specifically church people. And so the Lord's going to really start using you differently in the days ahead. And I got one more. And the guy in the blue hat. I thought I recognized you, but I don't know you. I just love your heart, man. I just love the depth of your heart. You got an amazing heart. But I'm pardon my French, you've been through hell and back, literally. For the past 6 years of your life, it's been bad, dude. Everything that you've put your hand to, you felt like, why is this coming against me? Why is this hitting me like this? And the Lord says, I'm testing you and bringing you to a place of joy in the days ahead. And I'm going to restore everything that the enemy has taken from you. And literally, he's robbed you blind. And people don't even know this here, but you were in such a deep depression for about 2 years that you didn't think you'd ever get out. And just 2 weeks ago, God started bringing you to a new level of freedom. Just 2 weeks ago. Share that and watch what he's going to do, because you'll never slide back into that place again. And when I get done, people are going to come back apologizing to you for a lot of different things. Keep standing your ground and watch what he'll do. He's also, I saw a door open, and he told me to tell you he's releasing some finances in your life too. That's getting better, ready to be released just in the next 2 weeks. And when it gets released, you're going to go, wow, how did this even happen? Because you've been fighting and fighting in that realm too. But God said, now I'm getting ready to open the door and no man can shut it. Amen.
Praise Jesus. Alicia, I've got a blessing for you tonight. And I can say that much, that I'm just giving you a blessing. But I will tell you this, that just know the Holy Spirit, you know, is always aware of what we do, obviously, because he's God, okay? And he sees your striving, not in a negative way, in terms of just your labor in the Lord. And the scripture says that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And he wanted me to tell you that. But there's benefits of serving in the kingdom of God. And there's something that's close to your heart. This is very, very, very personal, very close to your heart, that the Lord told me to tell you that he's going to bring a change in an individual that you're going to know was brought about by the hand of God. But simultaneously, he's also giving you a strategy, because you will have something to do with it. You won't be the catalyst, but it will be its by his power. And it is something that you've talked with him about, and he's heard your prayer. He's answering, telling you tonight, he's answering that prayer. And you'll be amazed. And you will not be alone, is what the Lord told me to tell you. You will not be alone. And so just know this. And he's, you know, I look at you externally, and you're always happy and this and that. But, you know, you have your tearful moments. And that's where I'm at in the spirit with you right now. And so God is healing you tonight, too. So you're going to know that he's touched you deep in your heart tonight. It's very, very, very gentle way that he's doing it. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing for you. And I don't want to go into detail with it. I know what it is, but I just want to tell you that it's a blessing from God. And it's going to affect you in a way that, you know, you already love the Lord. You know what I mean? But this thing is just like, you did something for me, Lord, that I've asked you, maybe talked about, but just the way that you did it, it's like sometimes he's aware of things that we need, and we don't necessarily request certain things, but he does them because he's just that good. There's nothing broken, and nothing, you know, in heaven there's nothing broken. Everything's recovered, everything's restored, but he wants to demonstrate that to you in your life. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. They're all looking at me.
Lady in the blue jean thing right there, or whatever you're wearing, hoodie. Whatever you're wearing. The Lord really showed me something about you. You question everything. And you want to know details about every single thing. And over the past year, God has really started peeling all that all away from you. Because in your past, if it didn't line up, you just go the other way. And now you're going all the way in. And it took you years to get to this point. And he told me to tell you that he's going to start releasing prophetic things through your life. And he's going to start using you. As a matter of fact, I saw visions all around your head. And he told me to tell you to get ready to start receiving that. And even in dreams too, because the only way he can get to you is when you're dreaming. Because your mind goes about 10,000 miles an hour all the time. And he's really going to start speaking to you in that way. And it's really going to bring a lot of comfort to you. And then I saw rain. I heard somebody talking about rain today. Rain has to do with blessing. If you look at ancient Israel, rain was big because of the desert that they were in. If you didn't have rain, you didn't eat. And I saw rain all around your family. And the Lord told me to tell you the blessing of the Lord is about to overtake your whole family. So get ready for what he's about to do. It's going to be brand new just in the next 3 to 4 weeks. Everything in your family is going to be brand new. So get ready for what God's about to do.
When we first came to the Lord one Sunday afternoon, there was a healing service, and they wheeled this young girl in. She was probably, I'm guessing, around 14 years of age. Her arms were so skinny. Her legs were so skinny. And she was tilted over in the wheelchair with drool coming out of the side of her mouth. She had cerebral palsy. She got prayed for. She got out of that wheelchair and ran down the aisleway screaming her head out, making a full loop of the church. This is the first time I ever saw anything like in my life, and it was amazing. Amen. It was.
Yeah, Penny, the word of the Lord is inside of you, and you're doing more than you know, and you have to understand that as I talked about vision and the appointed time, you know, and you're a little bit like me. Things need to happen fast, you know, but you're putting a real dent in a lot of things in terms of the enemy. Enemy hates you because of your ministry and the way that you continue to stay and hang in in prayer over people, and you don't let go of them. You don't give up, and you keep doing it. But just like I was sharing her, your labor in the Lord is not in vain, and there's an appointed time, because you know you need more gas in your tank. And so tonight, the Holy Spirit is filling you up, okay? Because you've been, I could see a weary spirit. You got tired, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, is this really doing any good, Lord? You know, that type thing. You know, you get that speech. But he wanted me to tell you that your labor in the Lord is not in vain, okay? He's gassing you up, okay? And that enthusiasm that you have is going to be rekindled again, because, you know, that song, "The Zeal of God Has Consumed Me, It Burneth in My Soul," I love that song. I think it's going to be played here soon. But I just want to encourage you that you're going to be gassed up tonight, okay, in the Lord. So I don't know if you needed that or not. Okay. I was just sitting over here, and I just kind of came into my spirit. You know, I don't learn generally. Like, if I know you, I'd really hesitate to prophesy over you. Not that I don't want to prophesy over you, but it's one of those things that has to be the Lord. You know, because there's so much manipulation that people do with this gifting, and it's very important that we, you know, we honor the Lord. Praise God. There's something over here, and I don't know who it is. I'm going to think it's Jamie, but I can't. Like, I know you, so it's like, what am I going to say to her? Maybe you have something for me. Do you have a word? I don't know. I think you might have something. I just wanted to open that up just to kind of let you. Come on. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I'm a midwife, a lot of you know that, and it's also my ministry. And this week, I was meeting with a client of mine who, she and her husband both are in ministry in a local church. And we always check to see how we're doing emotionally and all of that, and the tears just started coming to her. And she began to explain the oppression that they were both under. He's in music ministry, and a lot of expectations. And I was able to talk with them about the difference between a hireling and a son. And I, you know, you never want to cause division and bring people out from where they're called to be. However, there came a point that I thought to myself, I think we've all been there, where you feel like I'm a hireling. I'm here because I'm a hireling, and I'm not operating out of sonship. And so the burden was very heavy on me, and I've been pondering that all week. And I thought if somebody asked me, I would share it. So I don't know who it's for. It's for me too, but just understanding who you are, your covenant with him, is not necessarily the covenant that is placed on you that man would place on you. So operating just in a freedom and knowing your place and operating in that.
That's how the word of knowledge works, I guess. I knew you had something. I didn't know what it was. I don't know. It's not like, you know, when God speaks to you, when you're moving, and you don't know, some people may know, I just open my mouth and he fills it. I don't understand. I just have that much confidence in him. He's going to fill it with something. So if you're holding back and you think you got something, you know, maybe you ought to just let it out, you know? Okay.
I don't have the interpretation, but maybe as I start to describe it, the Lord will tell me. I'm seeing a pear tree that's bearing a lot of fruit. But I also see that that same pear tree is growing pineapples. Pineapples don't grow on trees, right? I think what God is saying is that someone is trying to prepare a harvest, but it's the wrong fruit. There's something else God is wanting to do that's a surprise, that's different from what you ever thought, something new. And the pears, just, there are a lot of them, but they just look kind of ordinary. Maybe it's churchy stuff. You know, I've got to be the Sunday school teacher. I'm supposed to work in the nursery. Churchy stuff. But what God wants to bring about in you is pineapple stuff. Okay? Something different. Something new. Something tart and interesting. And that's all I have. If anyone has an interpretation.
Blue car.
Your car has an interpretation.
Right, I'm looking at you. I heard you over there talking to the Lord, and you said, Lord, don't leave me out tonight. I need you to put some hope in my heart, because you've been, your hope's been deferred for quite a season now, and the Lord told me to tell you he's releasing a new hope in you starting tonight, and you're going to start having breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. And he heard your prayer, and you were persistent talking to him. Most people don't understand, when you come to a meeting like this, don't pull on us, pull on God, and start asking him questions, and he'll answer them. And that's what I heard you doing over there. I literally heard your conversations with him. And literally, you were almost at tears twice tonight. And I felt like the Lord told me to tell you, he does hear you, and you're not hidden. He sees you, and don't you ever doubt it again. And anything you need, you have to ask him. And he said he'll meet you exactly where you need to be met. Okay? So I just bless you with that.
Billy, I was going to tell you this privately. And Todd said to me, Doug, you got something. And I said, all right, God, am I supposed to say it publicly or privately? When Jim was speaking over you, I just had a vision of you like the young Forrest Gump who began to run, and all the mechanical contraptions that he'd been held back by began to just break and fall off of him. And I saw the heartbreak that you've walked through, and the disappointment and the hurt and the betrayal and all the things that the world and the enemy has thrown at you just begin to fall off of you, just like those mechanical devices that Forrest Gump didn't need anymore. And he found the joy of running. And he ran all across America. And he ran up and down the football fields in Alabama. But he was really, really good in his gifting in running. And the Lord says that I've called you to be my runner. It's no longer a season to walk. It's no longer a season to sit. It's time for you to walk and then to run into your giftings. And when you see people that are hurting, that you're called to minister to, you're no longer to hesitate, but you're to run to them, even as the picture is given to us of us running into the arms of the Father. God is calling you to be a godly father image to many, and run to them, even as the father of the prodigal son ran to him. God is calling you to run to the brokenhearted, and what you've walked through, it's going to give you the ability to relate to those who are hurting in a way that you wouldn't have been able to if you hadn't walked through all the crap the enemy in the world has thrown at you. And your compassion is going to know no boundaries, says the Lord, because you're going to be my emissary, my ambassador, to heal up the brokenhearted, says the Lord.
Alex, would you close us in prayer?
Excuse me. Father, we thank you for all the promises of God in Christ. We glorify you when we believe you for your word. I thank you that you can enlighten us all a little bit more. We thank you and praise you, Jesus, for your faithfulness to us. And we bless you and thank you together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well,